This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepared. Class, hour number one was dedicated toward the invasion of privacy and how people have been misled by big tech. How they have been lied to by big tech. How big tech has been snooping and spying and capturing and recording and storing forever things that are private. That people who use these technological gadgets, many don't realize the scope of what has been done to them. If you'd like to share the hour number one broadcast with those people, please do. Please do, and maybe they will understand, and maybe they will get rid of those devices and stop the spread of this spying epidemic. And if you think about it, the most wealthy people in the world are in the spy business. Who would that be? Jeff Bezos, Amazon. Bill Gates, Microsoft. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook. They're all in the spy business, and they are three of the wealthiest people in the galaxy. Kathy, we're going to talk about domestic engineering today.
Yeah. Vince, we had a bunch of topics that we wanted to talk about, and I just wanted to mention, and I don't have a lot on this, I just wanted to mention a couple things to give people a heads up. My sister-in-law got a call from her hairstylist, and she went to her wholesale place to get the shampoo and the colors and the conditioners and the products that she uses. And when she went in, she said 75 to 80% of it was gone, and she could only get a fraction of what she normally used. And the girl said they have no idea when they're going to get it in again. And it didn't look like it was anytime soon. And that's just, it could just be that it's hung up at a port, but it could just, it could be a larger problem. So I did go to the store, and I purposely went because I wanted to look around and to see a couple stores. There were certain things that were big gaps on the shelves. There were some that there was nothing there, and then there was others. So it seems to me it's sometimes it's just a certain product or maybe a certain manufacturer that can't get the product out. One of the things I did see, it seemed like certain the one shelf had, like, luggage and vacuum cleaners and, like, household things, and those were slim. And even like your kitchen things, like I was looking for like a kitchen mat, and my sink is a little bit of a different size. So I wanted a new mat. My other one was really cracked and worn out, and I really had a tough time finding that. I did finally find one that would fit, but there was only one. It wasn't like there was like a stack of them, like 8 or 10. There was only one. And so I am finding that there are shortages, but for me personally, I'm going to check my supply, but I'll probably go. We have a local place here that's called Sally's, and they have, things for your nails and your hair and it's all has, they have curling irons and things like that, but they do sell shampoo and conditioner by the gallon. So I most probably will go and get a gallon of each. Not that I'm going to run out anytime soon, but there again, I'd rather have like shampoo. So that's just a heads up I wanted to put out there for people, what I'm hearing. And I know, Vince, you've run into the same thing with ordering things in parts. We have too. And one of the other articles that I was reading was the one guy bought a piece of property, and now he can't get somebody to do the well, and he can't get anybody to do the step deck, partially because they don't have enough workers. And the other part is they can't get the parts, and they're so far behind because other people want those things. So last year we replaced our well pump and everything. We just replaced everything so that, because it was already 15, 16 years old, and we thought we're just not going to take a chance. We're just going to get it before the supply runs out.
Well, I think that was the right thing to do. And over the years, I've mentioned and I've advised our class, if you have a well, there are several components that you need to think about. One is the well pump. Let's say it's a submersible well pump. So at the bottom of this drilled hole that is probably 100 or more feet deep, there's a pump. And it's powered by typically 240 volts, some are 120 volts. And to turn the well pump on and off is a well pump control box or a pressure switch. So, one, some well pumps have a capacitor that is above ground and in a box. Let's say it's in your basement or in your garage or in your house. It's above ground. And then there's a pressure switch that tells the pump when to come on. But the capacitors go bad. So some well pumps have the capacitors built into the well pump at the bottom of the well. Others, like ours, have the well pump capacitor in a box that is above the ground, like in a garage or a basement, where it's easily replaceable. So now we've got, what could go wrong? Well, the well pump could fail at the bottom of the well. Or the well pump connection, where the electric wires are typically three wires, have been spliced together with the leads that, maybe the 1 foot long leads that come from the well pump have been spliced to the wire that goes up to the top of the well and goes into your house where the electricity powers the well pump. Sometimes the people that install them just take crimp on connectors and they splice the three wires together at the bottom of the well to the pump. And they use electrical tape, and they just wrap it with black electrical tape. And then what happens is electrolysis occurs when the well pump is energized. You have 120 or 240 volts there, and these wires are real close together, and they electrolysis happens, and these connections, these splices, these wires corrode because they're in water 24/7. So they corrode, and then the well pump stops working. So Maybe people should think about having the well splice kit, which includes a heat shrinkable plastic covering that once you splice the connection, crimp it really tightly or solder it as I would, then you put this sleeve over, this thick plastic sleeve, you heat it with a Burnsomatic type torch, propane torch, and then it melts and seals perfectly watertight. The connection that you've made, that splice. So now you've got the splice, you've got the wire, you've got the well pump, you've got the capacitor that could be above ground, and then you have the well pump pressure switch. And then you have the well tank, the well pressure tank. So you have all of those things that could go bad. And should you have any of them? Yeah, I think you should. And the most important to me would be the splicing kit, the well pump, a replacement well pump, and the well pump capacitor box. Those are the things that I'd want to have. And a way of shrinking that insulator for the splice kit, a torch and a cylinder and a match. And I'd want to have all that. And do I? Yes, I do. I have all that. Because the last thing that I want to do is drag water from the creek, which is, I don't know, half a mile away. When you start hauling water, you won't believe how heavy it is. I bought a water buffalo, a used military surplus water buffalo, because we had a time when we had a drought and we had to get water to the cows. So this thing's like 300 gallons. It's a small one, 300 gallons. 300 gallons. You figure the tank, it's on a military trailer, probably weighs 1,000 pounds. And then you figure water weighing about 7 pounds per gallon, 7 to 8 pounds per gallon. So we'll say 8. 8 times 300 is 240, 2,400 pounds for the water, right? Plus the 1,000 pounds for the trailer. It's a heavy operation. Water's heavy, especially when you have to drag it in the heat. So that's a really important consideration. I'm so glad you did it. Now, I didn't replace ours. I'll replace it when it quits. And I've done it before, and it's not a lot of fun. And you need a gallon of chlorine bleach, unscented chlorine bleach, so when the well pump fails, after you've pulled out the pipe, the well pipe, and the wire, and it's lying on the ground, now you want to clean all that out before, clean it with water before you put it all back in the well pipe. And then you want to pour the gallon of chlorine in there to kill any bacteria that you've allowed to enter into your own well. So it's not easy. Hey, Kathy, do you have a rough idea of what that operation cost? I'll bet it was expensive if you don't mind sharing that.
Vince, the guy that came out, he's a local guy, and we didn't know him personally, but we knew of him. He's been doing it for a while. I want to say, well, we had trouble with something, or my husband wanted to check something. Something was loose, and my husband's pretty well-versed with electrical and all that. But when the guy came out, I think he said, well, it's already 15 years old. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought he said the average life of a well pump is between 15 and 18 years. So when he came out, it was right before it got real cold. And I know when we first moved in here, we had a lot of trouble with like sulfur and buildup. So we had a big problem with our water. And so my husband just made the decision to get it taken care of. He said, look, I don't know how much corrosion is in there. He said, if this happens in the middle of winter and we can't get the materials. So anyway, long story short, my husband was out there with him, and they replaced the well pump, and there was something loose at the top where the standpipe is. But I want to say it was around $800 or $900 for everything. And like he said, I think the pump, I want to say it was probably $300 or $400 through him. And so my husband said, well, he's already out here on a call. He's working on it. He's got this whole thing out. Okay, let's just replace it and be a little safer. So that's what we did. I don't know if I'm right on the time duration of the life of the well. We were going to wait, but then he said, no, let's just take care of it.
No, he's right. 15 to 18 years is about right. And we're in Virginia. We replaced ours after about 15 years. And it was a whole family. I mean, it was a couple hundred feet deep. And I built a crank system because there's a piece of polypropylene rope that goes down the well. It's tied off at the top where you can reach it. And it's tied onto the well pump. And so if you create kind of a crank system where you just turn the crank and the spool up that rope, you can have.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
So the whole family was involved in changing our well pump. And I'll tell you why. Because it had black plastic PVC pipe. And the pipe, we didn't want to kink it. It comes on a roll. But when you take it out of the well, if you don't have enough hands to hold it to make a nice gentle curve, when you pull the pipe out of the well, it can kink and then it will fail. So the children were involved. Everybody in the family was involved. And we changed it in probably 3 hours. Now, how long would it take a well guy to do it with all the equipment and the truck and the boom and all that? Maybe an hour. But the pump, I think I paid less than $200 for. And it worked. So I bought a spare well pump. I bought a well pump control pressure switch and the control box, which has the capacitor. And I thought, okay, I've got everything I need. But I didn't test it. So I don't know if it works. So I bought another set. So I have two. Okay? And what can I do with it? Well, that darn pump went from $300 or $250 to like $500 now. So it's brand new. It's in the box. They are in the box, I should say. And I could always sell it. I think of it like instead of money in the bank, I've got stuff that I can use. So Kathy, just wanted to share that. And I think I know what, when you pulled out your well pump and your husband decided to suggest to you that, you know, both of you replace it at that time, since everything was taken out of the well. Sounds like what I was talking about in the beginning. That splice had failed. That splice had corroded because the guy who put the well pump in the first time didn't seal that spliced connection properly, the way I was talking about it with, you know, the heat shrinkable tubing and the torch. Does that sound like it's right?
I think you're right, Vince. I can't remember. I was out there for a little bit, but I think you're right on that.
So really, what we're talking about is a $6 splice kit. It's available on eBay. And the previous guy didn't use that. And because he didn't use that, he had to take the well pump out prematurely. So that's why I have that kit. And you can look it up. It's a well pump splice kit. I think that's what it's called. And it's three plastic milk jug plastic colored sleeves that are heat shrinkable, plus three barrels that you would crimp on with a wire crimper. That's the whole kit. Six pieces, three crimps, and three heat shrinkable sleeves. That's all of it. But you might want to get one. You might want to do that. Back to you, Kathy. What's next?
Oh, Vince, we were going to talk about getting ready for fall and how to take care of our tools. I know we probably won't get to all of it, but I'll mention a few things, and then please feel free to add to it. I think that we take our screens down and we very gently power wash them and get all the dirt, and we leave them out against the house and let the sun dry them, and then I wipe them down and then we put them in the basement. And on the top, my husband uses a Sharpie which room it's in so that we know when we go to put them back in, we know which room it goes to. Because if you know how it is, you have so many different screens sometimes that you can't remember. So he just writes down, like, if it's from the family room or the kitchen, and then we just store them in the basement where it's nice and dry. So, and then obviously we wash the windows, and I like to use a squeegee. And then I take a rag and I go up and I get all the jams and I get the bottom, and I take, if it's on the bottom, there's always like spider webs and dead bugs and dried up dirt. I take a little microfiber cloth and a scrub brush, and when I get done washing the windows, then I'll, wipe all the jams out so it's nice and clean. Now, they don't stay real clean because we get a storm or the wind comes and blows the dirt on them, but at least I get the grime off. So we do that every year, and then we do the furnace filters. You've talked about how you do yours, but we make sure that that's changed, and we check that regularly. And I wash all my comforters. I take the big ones to the laundromat. I hang them on the clothesline. Like a day like today, we've got a nice gentle breeze. It's going to be in the 70s. So I'll take all my floor rugs, my comforters, my mattress pads, curtains, whatever, and I try to get all that done. I still have a little more time, but I don't like to wait too much longer before the cold weather comes in. But those are the first couple things that I wanted to mention, Vince, and when we get back, you can mention some of the things that you do.
Yeah, sure. Be glad to. Kathy's with us. Domestic engineering. Kathy is an absolute expert at domestic engineering.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A lawyer for Hillary Clinton's failed presidential campaign has been indicted by a grand jury for lying to the FBI. Michael Sussman will be in court Friday to answer to the charges. There's been a major surge of illegal immigration at the U.S.-Mexico border Thursday. Border Patrol officials saying the thousands of souls getting through the non-fenced border are mostly Haitians, Cubans, Venezuelans, and Nicaraguans. Authorities arrested more than 195,000 at the Mexico border in August. Opponents of President Biden's open border policy say his policies have encouraged illegal immigration from around the world. The Federal Reserve is reviewing the ethics policies that govern financial holdings and activities of its senior officials in the wake of recent disclosures that two regional Fed presidents engaged in extensive trading last year. Robert Kaplan, president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, and Eric Rosengren, president of the Boston Fed, have pledged to divest holdings. USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Mainstream media continues to bash the unvaccinated in America. Don Lemon on CNN.
I think we have to stop coddling people when it comes to this and the vaccine, saying, oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are. The people who are not getting vaccines, who are believing the lies on the internet instead of science, it's time to start shaming them. What else? Or leave them behind.
Journalist from The Hill, Joe Concha on Fox News, says this rhetoric does nothing but divide Americans.
The irony of Don Lemon saying this to Chris Cuomo, you know, the guy who faked his own quarantine, got into a verbal confrontation with some 60-something-year-old man while the anchor was sick and shedding the virus, is lost on no one, believe me. But this is what Don Lemon does best. He divides people against each other in the most pious terms possible. And as an African-American, he should also report, or at least realize, that when broken down by race, we're talking about vaccine hesitancy, the highest is among African-Americans. Something like 30% of African-Americans in New York, for example, are vaccinated. That's it, right? And you compare that to Asians, where in that particular race, it's almost 70%. Whites is around above 50%. So this isn't the own on dumb Southerners, I guess is what Don Lemon is targeting here, that he thinks it is, because, as you said, there are many reasons why people are hesitant, or maybe because they think they already have the antibodies to fight this disease better than the vaccine. Either way, you don't get people to get vaccinated by shaming them.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kathy's with us, and we're going to save you some money. And Kathy mentioned the well pump and the replacement, etc. Here's something that everyone who has a well needs to know. Needs to know. And that is that if you have a well with a pressure tank, and there's a pressure tank with almost every single well, and what happens is water is pumped up from the bottom of the well by the pump, travels through some piping into a pressure tank. And typically, the ones that have been built over the last 40 years or so are blue in color. Typically, they're blue in color. And they have a rubber bladder inside. So it looks like it's a tank that would just hold water, but it's more than that. It's a tank with a bladder, and the bladder holds air. And actually, the bladder holds water, and the way it works is there's air pressure in this tank, and then there's the water in the tank. And what happens is when you turn on your faucet, the water is pushed from the tank through your house plumbing to your faucet, and water comes out. So the well pump does not come on every time you turn on the faucet. If it did, your well pump would probably last about a year at the most, because it'd be going on, off, on, off, on, off. Every time you flush the toilet, took a shower, turned on the faucet, it'd be cycling a lot. So the idea is to have this well pressure tank that has a reserve of water in it that's already been pressurized by the well pump, so that there is this reserve, and that's what you draw from. Now, when you deplete the water in the tank to a specific level, the well pump comes back on and refills up the tank. So there's a well pressure switch, and it works based on the pressure of the water in that tank. So let's say it turns itself on at a low of 30 pounds per square inch, and it shuts itself off at 50. Because you don't want it to keep pumping, and kill itself and burn itself up. So typically, they come on at 30 pounds per square inch, and they shut off at 50. That's what the well pressure switch is typically set for. So how much pressure should be in your tank? How much air pressure? 2 pounds less than the turn-on pressure. So if your pressure switch comes on at 30, you should pump up your tank to 28. Pounds per square inch. And you can check that with a tire gauge, you know, like for your car, because there's a Schrader valve at the top of the well pressure tank. It's this little bump with a little cap on it. You unscrew the cap, and sure enough, there's a Schrader valve that would allow you to pump air in there. You can use a bicycle tire pump. You can use a compressor. But what you do is you drain the well pressure tank from all of its water first. Then you pump up the pressure to 2 pounds less than the turn-on pressure, or what's called the cut-on pressure. 2 pounds less. Let me say it a different way, less. And then what happens is your well pump will not cycle on and off as often, which will make it last way longer. Now, does it say on the side of your well pressure tank, yo, heads up, y'all got to check this and make sure it's right. Otherwise, you're going to burn out your well pump. Do they say that? Probably not. Did the guy who installed your well tell you that? Probably not. But you heard it here. So why don't you hear things like that on other broadcasts? Why? Because they can't tell you. Because they don't know. Because they've never done it. Do you think... Well, heck, maybe Sean Hannity could tell you that. He could probably do, you know, tell you how to do that. Or Jay Leno. Or Michael Savage. Or Michael Medved. Maybe they could tell you. Kathy, back to you.
Good advice, Vince. Vince, I know another thing that's really important, and I know you can explain this better than I can, but when you have to disconnect your garden hoses and drain all the water out of them, and all those, like your sprinklers and anything like that, but Vince, you have to do something too with the outside faucets. And can you talk about that and what you do?
Okay. So here at the farm, we have a lot of underground plumbing, meaning we have connected to the well system hydrants. They're called frost-proof hydrants. What they are is a pipe that comes out of the ground, and at the bottom, underground, is connected to the well water system. And it has a handle. It looks kind of like a heavy handle. It's not a knob that you turn. It's a handle that you lift up. And what that's connected to is inside this galvanized pipe, three-quarter-inch pipe, that probably sits about 2.5-3 feet above the ground. There is a rod inside that pipe, and at the bottom of this hydrant is the shutoff valve. So the valve is not at the top. The valve is underground, probably 2 feet or so, or maybe even more, underground. And the idea is if the water's underground, a couple feet below the frost line, you won't have the pipes burst. So that's what we have here at our farmhouse. And there's a little tiny drain hole so that when you lift up the handle on the frostproof hydrant, water goes up through the center pipe around the rod that's in there that's connected to the shutoff valve at the bottom or the foot of this hydrant. Water comes up through the pipe, comes out the garden hose attachment, and when you shut it off, when you close that handle so that the water stops flowing, water drains back down that center pipe, comes out a little tiny hole into the ground, and it's typically in a bed of gravel. So the water goes back underground that was in the hydrant pipe. That way it won't freeze. So we have them. Now, we do drain, as winter approaches, we drain every garden hose. And we have a hill, and what we do is we stretch out the garden hose in the sun, you know, not in freezing weather. We take care of this before it gets, you know, freezing cold. And we let the water drain out of the garden hose. Then at the top of the hill, we start pulling the garden hose toward us. And as we coil it up, it increases the height of where we are in relation to the lowest part of the hose. So if there's any water in the hose, it drains out. Because if you have just 1 ounce of water in a garden hose, and it freezes, and you want to use that hose in the winter, it's not going to work because that frozen water, that 1 ounce, will settle in the lowest part of the loop if you loop the garden hose, you know, to have it take less space when you put it in your garage or wherever your barn, wherever you put it. So we make sure that their garden hoses are absolutely empty. Then they sit in the sun and for a couple days to drive off any more moisture that we didn't get out. And then we screw the couplings together, both couplings at each end of the garden hose. We screw them together so water doesn't get in them. Then if we have a fire in the wintertime or we need a garden hose to use in the wintertime, it's not blocked by water frozen in the garden hose. Okay? We do that with all of our garden hoses, all of them. And whenever we are done using a hydrant, let's say we're going to wash a car or a tractor or a piece of equipment. Take that 100-foot garden hose, hook it up to the hydrant, have the brass nozzle on the end, and when we're done, we disconnect the hose from the hydrant so that all the water drains back down the hydrant galvanized pipe into the ground. There's no water sitting in the hydrant. That's what we do. And also, what I've done is I have these brass nozzles, and I like the ones that are made in the United States, the old ones, you know, the vintage ones. And I went to eBay, and I bought 3 lots of garden hose offerings, let's say 8 or 10 in a lot. And I bought 3 of them, and they're like $15 for, let's say, 8 brass vintage garden hose nozzles. You have to buy them when nobody wants them, and you can. And so they're the ones that work best, the ones that say Craftsman, and old names like, I'm trying to think of some of the other names that we have, but Craftsman is a good one. The old heavy brass ones are the best. So ours are all old. They were very inexpensive, you know, less than a couple dollars a piece, and they work really well. But what I do is near the hydrant, I've taken a piece of wire and I formed it in a loop. So what I can do is I can take that garden hose brass nozzle, and the loop is such that I can put the brass nozzle vertically in this little hanger, if you will. and I open it up so that any water that gets in it can drain out the bottom, you know, the outlet, if you will, of the brass nozzle, and I leave it there. That way I don't have to go looking for the brass nozzle if someone takes it off the end of the garden hose. So let's say they want, you know, full pressure and, you know, to fill something fast, they'll take the nozzle off. Well, where does it go? Well, it goes in this little holder, which is right on the hydrant. And it's opened up so that if water gets in there and it freezes, the water won't burst the end of the brass nozzle. So that's what we do that's with the hydrants. Now, as far as most homes, they used to just take an outdoor faucet and attach it to the plumbing, and the plumbing would crack because the cold would travel through the copper plumbing and burst the plumbing. So they came up with a really neat device called a silcock. That's what it's called, a silcock. And it has the valve maybe 8 to 10 to 12 inches inside the house from the end of the faucet outside. That is the way to go. That way you won't have the freezing of the plumbing. Now, for those who don't have those, if you have a shutoff valve in your house and you can shut off the water to the outside faucet, that's what you need to do. And you need to do it like several weeks before the freezing weather. That way, you open that valve, you open the faucet, so that the air will evaporate any moisture or water that happens to be in that particular faucet that's outside. Any questions about that, Kathy?
Well, I was going to ask you about the Silcox and the shutoff valve, because I remember watching my husband do all that and asking him, you know, why do you do it and all that? And he says, well, just what you said, that it could freeze and crack. And I know that the water damage and the problems that would come from that would be hard to deal with. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Vince, because I think that's one of the more important things to do.
You know, Kathy, at our farm, you know, a lot of things fail and a lot of things break. So we have a metal fabrication shop, if you will. So we have sheets of steel, different thicknesses, angle iron, tube steel, pipe. We've got a couple different kinds of welders, gas, electric, MIG, arc, and welding rods. Welding wire, welding gas, and we have a plumbing department with PVC, etc. Y'all might want to think about that, having spares. What do you think is going to break?
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Last day.
God, you're. Take my. When you go to the PC. For 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Kathy's with us, and Kathy, did you say you want to talk about tools?
Yeah, Vince. You know, I do with my garden tools, and I have to admit, I haven't been as diligent as I should be, and I will do it this year. It seems like every year I always feel like I have more time, and then it gets cold, and I don't get to it. But it's important, especially a few times a year, to really clean off your shovels and your pruners and your your garden tools, your trowels. And especially, like, if you're dealing with a diseased plant, it's a good idea if you have, like, a small, I don't know, like a big cottage cheese container, or I even use those Folgers, those plastic empty coffee containers, because they have a snap-on lid, and you can make a very weak bleached dilution. I normally go, like, one part chlorine, 10 parts water, and you can dip your pruners in there or your trowel if you're digging out like a diseased plant, and then you want to just have a rag and dry it off and rinse it off when you're done, and then you can go back to your other plants. But I keep one in the barn, and I also keep a bucket with the used oils from vehicles, and then it's like one of those frosting buckets that you can get from the bakeries. And I keep it in the barn, and I'll put my shovel or my trowel or my pruners in there. And I keep a small one for the small tools, but a bigger one so I can get, like, a whole shovel or a spade in there. And then if there's any rust or pits, you can use sandpaper or steel wool and then dry it off real good. And we have one of those. Our friend was moving, and we put it up on a wooden pallet in our barn, and it's got, like, the holes in it where you can put your shovels and your spades and your rakes, and so they're off the ground. And I like that. I mean, she gave it to us because she was moving into a small condo, so she didn't want it. But it keeps everything organized. It's easy to get at your lopers and your rakes and everything. And then the wood doesn't, you know, get on the ground. So either hang them or try to arrange them somehow so you don't have them sitting on the ground and absorbing the moisture. And there's a lot of different things you can do. Sometimes my husband will take my pruners apart and oil them and sand them down and clean them up for me. And the wooden handles, too, I've been remiss, excuse me, at that, but I need to get some. I don't know what kind of oil you use, Vince, but I thought you could use linseed oils, so I really want to go and do that for all my wooden handles. But anyway, I think that's important to keep your tools in good working condition. One of the ladies down the road, they literally had the white picket fence, and they had the most beautiful garden. It was an older couple, and they were farmers. But then when they quit farming, she still kept up the yard. And when she got to where she couldn't garden, she had me come down, and she gave me all kinds of supplies in the summer. And I'm so embarrassed, but they're all sitting in my barn in totes because I just haven't had a chance to go through them. So hopefully when the weather's cooler, maybe October, or it's a nice day, I can get out there and reorganize everything. But I want to know your comments too, Vince, on what you do. But I just thought it was important to inspect your tools and to keep them in good working shape.
So, Kathy, I have some tools that I inherited from my grandfather and my parents. So some of our shovels, rakes, pruners, pickmatics, hose are from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So some of our tools that we use are 50 to 80 years old. And the secret is to keep them out of the weather. So we keep them, they've been in a garage or they've been in a barn. And what I do is, lately, is I have a 55-gallon drum, and I put the tools in upside down. I'm talking about rakes and shovels, etc. And you want to make sure that this is not an area we're going to walk by and get poked in the eye. So you can put them, you know, tined side down in a barrel. But the problem is they get stuck when you try to take a, you know, if you got a bunch of them in there, they get stuck. But if you put the handle end down, facing down, then they don't necessarily get stuck. So that's one of the things I do. And, of course, we have the 2x6 construction, 2x8 construction in the barn. And so we nail some boards horizontally along the walls, and we put the tools in that cavity in between the 16-inch on-center framing or studs. So that's one thing. When you talk about hand tools, you want to get, first of all, you want to get the dirt off the shovel so it doesn't keep moisture on the shovels all winter long. And that will help your shovels last a lot longer. Linseed oil is a great way to go for the wood parts. The older shovels were better because they had metal handle brackets. Now it's all plastic, you know, with a single rivet that holds the shovel in place. The tools have gotten worse, generally speaking, not better. And for ratchets, I lubricate the ratchets with a couple drops of automatic transmission fluid on the gear operation end of the ratchet. And I wipe down the tools with automatic transmission fluid on an oily rag, and then I put the tools away. So it protects and cleans the tools. Just a couple quick thoughts. Kathy, thank you so much for being with us.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.